2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 14. And this is Paul writing to a younger Christian leader, Timothy. And this is what he says. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Wonderful. Well, good morning. My name is Mike. If you've not seen me before, it's nice to have you with us, and you join us as we come to stop talking about reading the Bible together and start doing it. That's exciting. The stewards have these leaflets. If you don't have one, or if you haven't taken one, why don't you put your hand up now, and the steward will bring one around. It'd be great if everybody's got one tucked in their Bible. Oh, look at that, wonderful. So we talked about this at the end of last year, and we've had a couple of weeks launching this project. From here on in, it's our aim that we read a set amount, normally one long book or a few short books, of the Bible a month. And that as you read them in your own time, at your own pace, there are questions on the reverse of the sheet which you can use, which are relevant to any passage of the Bible. So if you're getting a bit stuck or you're not sure as you read, you can go through that. There's a little kind of guide of what you might think about doing each day if you do decide to set a bit of time aside each day. Pray first, read the passage that you're going to read, reflect on it, pray again. Within here, it suggests that you make notes, not just on things that you think God is telling you or challenging you about, but perhaps also things that you don't understand. And if you want to come to your home group leader or to one of the elders, we'll be more than happy to help you if you get a bit stuck or on something you've read. As of next week, we start then. And as well as having our baptismal service with David, we are going to do a little Bible overview, not a whole Bible overview, a little overview of the book of Romans. That's where we're beginning. And then once a month in the morning services, we'll do a little overview of a book, but preach on a kind of key passage in that book. So it'll still be an exegetical sermon, but there will be a bit of material there that will hopefully help you in your Bible reading. How does that sound? That's pretty good, isn't it? I must admit, we as elders were a little bit concerned that this might feel like a bit of a duty, like a bit of a drag. But it's been so lovely to talk to lots of you. I'm not going to get a random sample. If you are a bit fed up about it, you may not come and tell me. But lots of folks have come and said how excited they are, and that's really exciting for me. We believe this is a God-given project. We believe God intends to build us spiritually, to nourish us as a congregation as we read. So I hope you can give it a go. The worst, I've said this before, haven't I? The worst that can happen is you get a bit behind, you just scrub out that month and start afresh the following month. That's the worst that can happen. So please give it a go. It's important, as with any significant activity, it's important to prepare ourselves before we dive in. I say that because in the 1940s, the Singer Sewing Machine Company not only produced Singer sewing machines, and not only gave instructions as to how the machine worked, but also provided instructions on to how the user, the operator, should go about sewing. Here are some of those instructions. Come on, please work, technology. Next one, I think, Shona. There we go. You won't be able to read that, so let me read a bit of it to you. Here are the instructions for using your sewing machine. Prepare yourself mentally for sewing. Think about what you're going to do. Never approach sewing with a sigh or lackadaisically. Good results are difficult when indifference predominates. I couldn't have said it better when it comes to reading the Bible. Unfortunately, reading the Bible and sewing take different turns in the second half of the instructions. When you sew, make yourself as attractive as possible. Put on a clean dress. Have your hair in order, powder and lipstick on. If you're constantly fearful that a visitor will drop in or your husband will come home and you will not look neatly put together, you will not enjoy your sewing. I have handwritten it out. It is lying on Dawn's pillow. No, just kidding. Well, we're not going to go that far, but it is important to prepare ourselves as we come to read the Bible. And just as last week, Alan took us through a passage where God tells us all about the Bible, so too this week, we come to God's Word, and we ask him simply, tell us what it is, tell us how we're to read it, tell us what will happen as we read it, and we come expecting that God will give us those answers. Perhaps we can go to the next slide, Shona, there we go. Margaret read to us just a few verses, four verses, which are so significant from 2 Timothy chapter 3. And all I want to do this morning, very simply, is just to dwell on a few key phrases. I hope what I say will encourage you all, remind most of you of things that you know already. I guess particularly I'm thinking of those who are somewhat new to reading the Bible for themselves. You know, I want to help you as you begin this journey with us. Here's the first key phrase that I want us to think about. There'll be three. Here's the first one, and it's the beginning of verse 16. Let me say it's the key phrase in this little passage. It's perhaps the most important little phrase that describes what the Bible is and the whole of the Bible. And it's the first few verses of verse 16. All scripture is God-breathed. You perhaps know, if you know a little of the history of the Christian faith and the Christian church, there was kind of almost from the beginning a battle between those who took the Bible seriously and those who didn't, who wanted to change it. Over time, those who wanted to change it became known as, well, that became known as a kind of liberal view of the Bible. And when those folks came to verse 16, they understood it to mean this. Human beings wrote the Bible, but God breathed into it. And so there are bits of him in there, bits of truth in there. Our job as enlightened people is to cross out all the mistakes God has made and find what God has really said in the midst of all the human errors. Now let me say, verse 16 doesn't support such a view. In fact, it's impossible to understand verse 16 in that way. Certainly, we believe that lots of people have been involved in writing these books. There are many books in the Bible, and lots of them take the name of the author, so we know there are lots of different authors. But it's not enough to say that this is a human book with some aspects that God has made divine. That's not at all what verse 16 is about. God wants us to know that he is the primary author. That all of the scriptures, not just part of it, is his. It is breathed out by him, exhaled as a work of the Spirit. Historically, there's been a verse in the Bible that the church has turned to help us understand how God has driven the scriptures and is the primary author, but has also used human authors along the way. It's from 2 Peter 1, and it'll appear behind me, I think. For prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That phrase, carried along, is used of the Gospels as the wind blows a boat across a lake, carried along, driven, inspired by the Holy Spirit. All scripture then, is God-breathed. Some simple implications. You could work these out for yourselves, but let me. I hope it helps as I go through. First of all, that means we must read all of the Bible. God doesn't highlight some bits as more important than others. The New Testament isn't more important than the Old Testament. The hard bits to read aren't more edifying or less edifying than the easy stories. If, to that end, a project like Reading the Bible Together can really help us as a whole church because we're resolving to read all of God's Word all together. Secondly, as well as reading all the Bible, that means we must read the Bible with humility. It is God's word, all of it, every punctuation mark, every capital letter, every word, every sentence, every phrase. It carries his authority. Some emails you might find in your inbox on a Monday morning, you put aside to deal with later. But an email from the king, well, that's one that you want to look at first. Liberals hold themselves up above the Bible. They want to stand above it and look down on it and evaluate it, pick it apart. Well, we'll take this bit, but not this bit. But know that God won't allow us to treat the Bible in that way. We come with humility, treating it as a priority. We hold the Bible up above ourselves and allow the Bible to evaluate us. More than that, the fact that it is both, as we see in 2 Timothy 3:16, as God breathes out using human authors, the fact that it's both a human book and a divine book, in a similar way to the way that Jesus is both fully human and fully man, that impacts how we read it. We must read it prayerfully. This book is full of spiritual truth, for which the Bible tells us we need the Spirit of God to understand. Here's some words from 1 Corinthians 1. The person without the Spirit does not accept things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them, because they are discerned only through the Spirit. We must read prayerfully then as we come to God's word. It is a human book, but it is a divine book too, God would have us know. Finally, fourthly, we must read sensibly. I'm not sure if that's the right word. I'm sure there are much better words. What I mean is, as we read, we mustn't think that reading the Bible is some weird, mystical experience. It is a divine word, but it's also a fully human book, using styles of literature that we're all used to. Some of the Bible is poetry. Well, we won't read that in the same way as we might read a parable or a historical narrative. You know that. I don't need to say the obvious. We need to read the Bible then with God-given common sense, using the normal rules of reading we would anywhere else. Psalm 91, this won't appear behind me. Psalm 91, he will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart, writes the psalmist of God. But we know that God doesn't have wings and God isn't a bird. We understand the rules of poetry, don't we? All scripture is God-breathed. That's our starting place, says the Apostle Paul. And so we must read all of the Bible. We must read with humility. We must read prayerfully. And we must read sensibly. Can I encourage you, as you start this Bible reading program, as you take time for yourself to read, just reflect on the Apostle Paul's advice to Timothy. He writes to Timothy as to how to engage with the Bible. Reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. You think hard, you work hard as you read, and trust prayerfully that God will help you understand. Well, that's the first phrase then, all scriptures God breathed. Which brings us to the second phrase, just slightly before. As the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, he describes what Timothy's own experience of being taught the Bible has been. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy his mother and his grandmother taught him the Bible. How from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, and here's our phrase, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And what part of the Bible would Timothy have been taught as a kid? The answer, of course, is the Old Testament. The New Testament, still a work in progress. And yet, verse 15, even as a kid being taught in the Old Testament, Timothy would have been made wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Well, now we're starting to learn not just what the Bible is, but what reading the Bible will do to you and to me. First of all, can you see that there is a main message that runs right through the whole Bible? There are 66 books in the Bible. It's a library of books. And there are a whole range of different authors. But we've seen already that God is the primary author. And though there are many books and many types of literature, God has one main message to communicate to the world through his word. It's like a stick of Brighton rock with just one phrase running all the way through. That's what the Bible is, Paul tells Timothy, and God tells us. The Bible has just one key message. Verse 15, the scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's the key message. We are ignorant and foolish by nature. God needs to make us wise, and he does so through the Bible. And that wisdom that we need concerns a divine salvation. We are in trouble, in need of rescue, in need of saving, and we cannot save ourselves. And that salvation, we see that this message running right through the Bible tells us that salvation doesn't come through trying harder to be a good person. It doesn't come by good works, seeking to win God's approval, but comes instead through faith, verse 15. Faith not in ourselves, not that there's a hero within, but that we need an external, divine Savior. The scriptures make us wise for salvation through faith, not in us, but in Christ Jesus, God's Son, our Savior, who saves us from death and sin and judgment. And that was Timothy's experience as he was taught as a child. Can I say, first of all, look to all of us, but particularly to parents, teach your kids from the scriptures. From the earliest age, let them see that they are sinners saved by grace. That's the message that runs right through the Bible, that there is a divine judgment coming that they will escape not by works, but through faith in Jesus. And if that's relevant to the youngest of us, well, of course it's relevant to the oldest of us as well. And listen, I guess the truth is we become accustomed to lots of folks becoming Christians in childhood. But God promises that it's the scriptures, not the age of the reader, the scriptures that makes people wise for salvation. And that's true of adults just as much as it is of kids. And look, if you're skeptical, if you perhaps know a few folks who became Christians as adults, reading the Bible for the first time, let me just for a moment be a living, breathing example to you. At university, I came to question my ardent atheism. I was absolutely certain I knew the answers, or at least I thought I did, and then I began to wonder why I was so certain. I thought, crumbs, perhaps there is something in the Christian faith. Perhaps I've dismissed it too quickly and too ignorantly. I really should read this book for myself before I dismiss it. That would be the intelligent thing to do. So I went to the chaplaincy on my university campus and said, can I borrow a Bible? I want to try and understand this. And they said, no, of course not. These things cost money. I said, that's ridiculous. It's your job to make people Christians. Give me a Bible. And in the end, I had to fill in this kind of form and promise to pay for it if I hadn't returned it in 2 weeks. So I got a Bible, and I, at the age of 20, 21, just started reading at Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I read thinking, is there a God? And the more I read, I realized the question actually is, who is this person, Jesus? Because if he is who he claims to be, then it answers my first question. If he is the Son of God, then of course there is a God, and I can meet him in Jesus. I read, I stopped going to lectures for a little while and read. I met the living Jesus Christ and I gave my life to him. Please be confident that when God says he will make people wise for salvation through the scriptures, he is telling the truth. That's his agenda for how he's going to bring people to himself. That's true for me when I wasn't a Christian. He took a hold of me through the scriptures. That's true today as we engage with the people around us. Of all the, and there are many, evangelistic courses that we could run, we're really excited to run the Christianity Explored course. It's a brilliant course because perhaps more than any other, it helps folks who aren't Christians dig into the Bible for themselves. And we love that because as they do, we have a quiet confidence that God can and will make people wise for salvation through faith in Christ. Do pray for those courses that are going on at the moment in West Ratting, I can't remember what village you live in, the village you're in. It's lovely that through our church members, there are folks around Cambridgeshire who are reading the scriptures, perhaps as an adult for the first time. And that's what God wants, because he promises to make people wise for salvation, not by works, but by faith in Jesus. As you go through this project, and I hope you will give it a go, the reading the Bible together, why not tell a friend who isn't a Christian that you're doing it? Why not explain to them how significant a piece of, even if you're not a Christian, this book has changed the world, how significant it is to read it as an adult. Perhaps you could even say, would you like to read a bit with me? Perhaps they would just read a bit of the Bible with you. All scripture is God-breathed. That was our first phrase. Scripture makes us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. That's our second phrase. Here's our third and final phrase. It's the long one, beginning at verse 16. Just have a look with me, will you? If you've got your Bible open, let me read it and you follow. All scripture is God-breathed. That's the starting point. Now here's the consequence. And is therefore useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Isn't that awesome? That's a massive statement, and we're going to take a hold of that and claim it as true. God's agenda, we've seen, is to point us to his good news always, to the gospel, the message of salvation through faith in Christ, which runs right through the Bible. But more than that, God uses his word for you and I who are Christians to change us. He doesn't want us to remain the same. But in the power of the Holy Spirit, he wants us to grow, to become not just partially equipped. Do you see that phrase in verse 17? God wants to thoroughly equip us to live this Christian life. And God intends to use his word, the Bible, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to do that. The Christian life demands much of us, doesn't it? At home, at work, amongst friends, in church. But God isn't happy with partially equipped Christians in those spheres. He wants us to change and grow and become fully equipped. And he will do that as we engage with him in his word. Let's just think about those phrases. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. There's the first one. God wants to teach us. That implies, I think, that we will never know everything there is to know. God always has more to teach us. And so as we read as part of the reading the Bible together or just any other way, it will at times be a delight because God will be teaching us new things, things that we didn't know before. About him, about us, about life in God's world, about service in God's church, whatever it might be, God teaches us. So none of us know everything. All of us have much to learn. And sometimes reading the Bible is going to be brilliant because we're learning new things and that's always fun. But more than that, God wants to rebuke us. Do you see that second phrase? That implies we will always go slightly astray this side of heaven. And as we read God's word, because he loves us as his dearly beloved children, God will, if I can put it in a modern phrase, tell us off. He'll challenge us about the decisions that we've made, the priorities we have, the way we've thought about money or power or sex or whatever it is. God will bring his agenda for you to light as you read. That means, of course, while the Bible will be wonderful to read at times as we learn new things, it's also going to be a bit tough to read at times because God will puncture our pride and rebuke us. Third thing God will do is correct us as we read his word. Rebuke has moral connotations. correct is more about belief and knowledge. That he will correct us as we read the Bible means our understanding of him and this world will always be, in part, in error. And all of us, therefore, will read God's word with an expectation that we will have to replace false beliefs with true, false knowledge with truth. And again, that's going to challenge our pride. God will demand our humility. And again, it means reading the Bible will be challenging for us, but it's good for us. Finally, through his word, God will train us in righteousness, so that together with all these things, we're thoroughly equipped for the Christian life. Train us in righteousness implies there is still more we can learn about how to live practically for Jesus in this Christian life. There's more for all of us to understand and be equipped about living this life of service and devotion to Jesus. God tells us then his word will be immensely practical for us. If a church is lacking in every area, do you see? God wants to address that area of weakness and strengthen and equip his people. And 2 Timothy 3 verse 17, he promises that the beginning of that will be through the scriptures. God equips his people as the Bible is taught. You want to equip people to pray? Teach the Bible, God says. That's how I'm going to thoroughly equip people. Do you want husbands and wives to have strong and loving and tender marriages? Teach the Bible, God says. Let me speak to them. Do we want to engage with the non-Christian world around us, helping them to see that the Christian faith is relevant and a lifeboat for a world going adrift? Teach the Bible, God says. Let me thoroughly equip the church. Let me get about my business of thoroughly equipping people. God tells us his word will always be practically relevant if only we have ears to hear. So simply then, can you see, in those three phrases, we see what the Bible is and what to expect as we read it. It is fundamentally God's word. Though written by many humans, they were carried by the Holy Spirit. It's his word from beginning to end. And from beginning to end, therefore, since it has one primary author, it just has one primary message, a message of salvation from judgment through faith in Christ Jesus. And as we read prayerfully and sensibly and in community together, as we do this project together, it will be joyful for us because God will teach us. And it will be challenging for us because God will rebuke us and correct us. And it will always be practical because God's intention is to thoroughly equip us for the Christian life. We may not need to prepare ourselves quite as a user of the Singer sewing machine. But it is useful, isn't it, as we ask God, what is your word and what should we expect? It is useful to prepare our hearts for God's agenda as we read his word. He wants us to change, he wants us to grow, and he promises he will do that through his word. Why? Well, here's that verse that's on the front of the Reading the Bible Together leaflet that I propose we come back to again and again through this 3-year project. Because if we believe this is true, we will devote ourselves to the reading of the scriptures, and we will do so confident that God will change us. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Let me pray for us as we start this project. Romans next week. Our Father, we believe you are a loving and powerful God who is pleased to work by the Spirit and through your word. And so we pray that for us as a church family, you would change us, you would build us, that you would grow us and thoroughly equip us for all that you have in store for us as we open ourselves up to your word and allow you to speak. Be glorified in our midst as we listen and with humility obey. For Jesus' sake, amen.